Lots of cities, large and small, are home to chapters of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. The Catholic charity gets involved in a number of ventures. Often it's known as the place you call when you want to get rid of an old mattress. The St. Vincent de Paul Lane County chapter will take care of that for you, but it also employs lots of people, moves lots of material, and even builds low-income housing. That makes it stand apart from many other chapters across the country. Terry McDonald is the executive director of the Lane County chapter of Society of St. Vincent de Paul and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Terry, welcome back.
Hi, Jeffrey. It's good to hear from you.
How long have you been at St. Vincent de Paul now?
How long have I been here?
Yeah.
Well, I've worked here for 44 years, and I've been the director for 30.
Well, what was it like when you got there? I mean, I imagine that the offerings weren't quite as comprehensive as they are now, back then.
No, that was in the 70s. It was a very small organization, just had a few staff and a couple of thrift stores and volunteers doing their home visits, which they still do today.
Home visits for what?
People call us and ask for assistance with rent or utilities or furniture or whatever else, and my volunteers that are in the local parishes will go out and see if they can help the people.
And how did St. Vincent de Paul end up taking on more and more duties and things it does over time?
Well, that was a direct result of the big recession we had back in the 1980s. During that period of time, as you remember, the economy in Oregon just tanked.
And housing starts collapsed, and so people were building homes, and no lumber was getting sold.
Well, yeah, and the forests got really locked up. I mean, basically, this is the time of the spotted owls and the marbled murrelet. And the result was there was a horrific amount of home loss. There was a lot of unemployment, and organizations like ours that were doing emergency services just were overwhelmed. And so the board and staff really got together and said, what we want to do is we want to try and take on three issues. One is affordable housing. It was just virtually impossible to get any done, so we said, well, we're going to have to try and get some built. The second thing is we wanted to build a more robust emergency services. We wanted to have the stuff, the food and the utility assistance, the rent assistance, and all those things available to people in times of crisis. The third thing was is we said, well, we need to create jobs, because that was the big driver under everything, was is that, you know, there just were no jobs being created. And so we decided that we needed to see if we could do it, get into that, make that happen, but you had to figure out where to go. In our case, we discovered that transfer sites and dumps and recycling of materials was a good business.
Has it remained a good business? I know from talking to people in the recycling business in recent years, they have complained at times for things like not a lot of market for newsprint, for example.
Well, markets flow back and forth, but diversion of materials from the waste stream comes in many different forms. One of the more common things that we divert from waste streams is books. You know, the book is supposed to be a dying animal, but it certainly doesn't seem that way. We sell an awful lot of books in our stores, both online and in our retail stores. You know, the need to pull gas out of refrigerators, the CFC gas, that's the ozone-depleting gas that has to be recycled. You know, you're paid to do that service, and any appliances you can then repair, you can put back out in the marketplace. And, of course, there's a new move on to recycled mattresses. California has just introduced a product stewardship measure that will go into effect in January of this next year, where the opportunity for people to recycle mattresses will be made available, and the service of taking them apart has to be done by somebody, and there will probably end up being a couple million mattresses diverted out of landfills next year in California. So these are all opportunities for us to find a way to make some money off of that, create some jobs and employment.
Given the number of things that you're involved in, it sounds like you do have to keep track of a lot of things that are happening just sort of on the edge of your world. I mean, the knowledge of a California law that is going into effect next year and how it might affect what you do in Eugene is an interesting relationship.
Well, we also have a business in California, in Oakland, and in Woodland that recycles mattresses. Our organization developed mattress recycling as a profitable business about 15 years ago in the San Francisco Bay Area. We were asked by the districts to come down and set up a mattress recycling business. And so as the move toward this law came forward, we were, I think, an important part of the discussion.
So the Oakland operation is actually a division of the St. Vincent de Paul Lane County chapter, or was set up
That's
by
correct.
It? Really, it is. It is.
That's part of us, yeah.
Wow. Where else do you have offices outside of the Lane County area?
Well, we have a lot of affordable housing scattered around the state. We have housing as far east as Oak Ridge and as far south as Cottage Grove and over to Florence, and then almost up to, well, all the way up through Marion County. So we have, of course, support services and property management scattered in those areas. So we have about 1,200 to 1,300 units of housing at this point.
That is a bunch. We'll talk about how you get into that in just a second. Terry McDonald's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Lane County Chapter. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. You talked about the birth of the affordable housing business coming out of the recession of the 80s. Obviously, there was a need for it. Who else normally would have been providing public housing and wasn't able or just couldn't put the parts together to do it?
Well, we were in a transition from the old model, the HUD-based model public housing is developed by housing authorities, and housing authorities then, subsidize either through project-based vouchers or else, community-based vouchers for Section 8. And that system was pretty well done in the early 80s, and it was because the Reagan administration had decided that they really thought there is a more effective and affordable way to develop affordable housing, and that was by using tax credits to involve the private sector in the development of affordable housing. That movement was just beginning in the mid-80s, and so there was a break-off between the development of the old-style HUD 236 projects or the 811s or 202s. And those had sort of gone away, but then the new stuff, the tax credits, had not really come forward. So the result was there was a period of time where there just wasn't an awful lot being developed.
So the idea was to provide incentives for private developers to go ahead and create affordable housing.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that didn't work quite as well as it did, or you might not even be in this business.
Well, the idea is that, affordable housing is everybody's housing. It's the only thing that makes it different in terms of what the building looks like is the rent. So in order to get rents low on affordable housing, which is good housing stock, the price of construction is the same, the fees are the same to build it and so forth. What's different is you got to get the rent down, which means you have to have a very small debt service if you're going to be able to make it affordable. So that's where the tax credits come in. The federal government offers tax credits to companies and individuals of substantial wealth, and they buy those tax credits from developers like St. Vincent de Paul give us a bunch of cash to put in as the equity into a project, and then, of course, they walk away with the tax credits.
So does St. Vincent de Paul create and then turn it over to somebody else, or do you stay actually in the business of managing the low-income housing?
No, we have our own property management division. So for that many units, it's better to internalize the project.
Mm-hmm. And so how many units do you have altogether between the various places in Lane County, and you said all the way up through the Mid-Valley?
We have about 12 to 1,300, and we're developing. Well, this week we're closing on a 9-unit acquisition in Springfield. We just broke ground on a 40-unit project in Ejunctia City, and in October we'll finish a 53-unit project here in Eugene.
Wow. So always busy, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, we're also doing a mobile home park elsewhere acquisition, and two mobile home parks, and a couple of scattered site houses that we're developing.
Does it seem like that the need for the housing is so great that as you open up more places, it's automatically, you don't really bite much into the need for it?
Well, it's always the need. Unfortunately, it's the economy. The cost of living and the cost of rentals has, of course, been escalating everywhere, it seems like, on the West Coast. So affordability for people that don't earn a lot of money is a real problem. So an example of that is that we opened a waiting list for our project that we'll finish up in October. We normally will see people come in and apply, and we'll see if we can qualify them in. In this particular circumstance, people started lining up in 90-degree heat the night before and stayed overnight in line. We had about 80 people in line first thing in the morning. Never had that before.
Wow. And this is for 40 units?
Yeah, this is for 53.
53, okay, the ones in Eugene, got it. Okay, we're talking to Terry McDonald, who is the Executive Director of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Lane County Chapter. Here is a call from Ryan in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good morning, Terry. Morning, Jeffrey, again. Thanks for letting me come in. I have to admit that, you know, Terry, I love St. Vinny's.
Well, I'm glad.
I've lived in Eugene since 1976, and I consider you to be one of the top two or three outstanding organizations in terms of economic development, in terms of community and capacity. I also just have to admit, as an agnostic liberal, you always challenge me. I love it. So one of the things that I'm hearing you talking about is NGOs, the synergies, you know, the kinds of things that we just underappreciate. We underappreciate the economic development of the Saturday market and the country fair. We underappreciate St. Vincent de Paul and your vision for community and our role in community, and this is my challenge in life, is how do we get better at telling the story to conservatives, to liberals, to public leaders, that this synergies that you've created, the rescuing of the Amazon student housing is a perfect example of that. And, so how do we get better at telling the story, Terry? You're really good at it, and I want to learn.
Okay, thanks for that, Ryan. Appreciate it.
You betcha.
Well, I appreciate the call, Ryan. But the story, remember that we don't drive the economy. In some areas, like recycling areas, we will. But the private sector still drives the economy. What we try and do is make sure that we're very efficient with everything that we use and find value in things that are non-traditional. So the mindset over time has kind of evolved that we can just sort of throw things away and create new. And it's kind of like you think about your iPad or your computer. You know, what a computer looked like 20 years ago is not what it looks like today. And so why would you want to keep that around? Well, you wouldn't. The generations move on. You got to dispose of it. But the disposing of it is the issue. Many things can be repurposed. Many things can find a secondary use. And making sure that we think about what we're doing with the products that we're disposing of is a key element of what we can try and do. When we take apart a bed, we recycled about 180,000 beds last year. When we take it apart, we make sure that as many of the commodities in that bed can find a way to get recycled and repurposed into another item. And including in that is we remanufacture products out of it that include pet beds and fire starters with the cotton in it that makes for camping purposes. We try and make sure that we have rebuilt box springs and mattresses that we remanufacture out of the ones that have got good internal components. So it's really thinking through the other end of our manufacturing and consumptive society, and that's really what we're trying to do.
So really, if you can help it, nothing goes to waste, nothing goes to landfill.
That's really the goal, is zero waste. And repurposing is a lot of what we're trying to do. We're doing a lot now on recycling or on upcycling. So, when you get an old, worn-out leather belt, what are you going to do with it? Well, what we're doing with it is we're cutting it up and turning it into fashion design wrist cuffs that are very trendy right now. If you have post-manufacturing waste from the garment district in San Francisco, what are you going to do with it? Well, it's current fashion fabric, and we're creating lines of clothing out of it. We're trying to find ways to use materials reasonably well that create added value that will then create the jobs and employment and the capital to do the projects that we like to do.
How many people are employed directly by St. Vincent de Paul of Lane County?
About 500.
Okay. And does that make you bigger than just about any St. Vincent de Paul chapter in the country?
Yes. I'm not aware of any that's larger than us. And we have more affordable housing than all of St. Vincent de Paul chapters in the United States combined.
At any point, Terry, has anybody in private industry said, we could get into this business and make some money at it if those guys at St. Vincent de Paul would just get out of our way? I mean, has anybody ever felt like their toes were getting stepped on because you were doing a line of work that they wanted to get into?
Well, there's competition in all marketplaces, and so we have competitors out there in the marketplace for mattress recycling. That was an industry that we started, but now I have lots of competition out there, and I welcome competition. Competition is not a bad thing. Competition makes sure that the consumer is being treated well, and that the price points are as competitive as possible, while making sure that, you know, you provide a really good service. So, you know, that's not a bad thing. In terms of stepping on toes, you know, I've long gotten used to the fact that, you know, if you're complaining about something, it's probably because somebody's doing something better than you are.
Fair enough. What has St. Vincent de Paul, Lane County, started any things that you later got out of? Any ventures that just didn't quite pan out for you?
Oh yeah, the good news about any business is that you make mistakes. Here's an example of one that had actually a life cycle. So back in the 90s, when we were starting to gear up to do a lot of different things, one of the things that we got into was manufacturing furniture. So we're still in a wood producing area, so we would buy blows or second material out of the private sector, or else take it from the transfer site and dumps and repurpose it. And we set up a wood shop that employed at one point 20 people and occupied a 25,000 square foot warehouse, and we pushed out a lot of furniture. And then the Southeast Asian, the Indonesian and Vietnamese, Malaysian furniture, and the Chilean furniture from down in South America, the flat pack stuff that comes into IKEA and to By Martin, whatever, that product base came in at a price point that was just not possible for us to compete against. And so that wood shop really shrank down. It's a vestige of what it used to be.
Well, there's the competition getting a result for the consumer that might not have been the best for St. Vincent de Paul, but, you know, you did what you needed to do.
Life is, everything changes, everything moves on.
Always so much to talk about with you. Always good to talk to you. Terry McDonald's the Executive Director at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Lane County Chapter. Thanks again for joining us on The Exchange.
A pleasure, Jeffrey.
Take care.